HABU Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Challenging the Both Sides Narrative, Difference Between Fascist and Antifa Movements in the Trump Era, on Thursday, April 4th from 7 to 9 p.m. at Cider Riot in Portland. Challenging the Both Sides Narrative is a talk by Dr. Stanislav Vysotsky. This talk will provide an overview of contemporary fascist and anti-fascist movements with a focus on the key differences between them. Again, that's Challenging the Both Sides Narrative, Difference Between Fascist and Antifa Movements in the Trump Era, on Thursday, April 4th from 7 to 9 p.m. at Cider Riot, 807 Northeast Cooch Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Baby, you understand me now.
Hi, greetings and welcome to Prison Pipeline, airing from the studios of KBOO Portland. I'm your host, Adam Carpinelli. Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration. This evening, we are here with Rushni Takor. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks. We experienced some amazing program that you helped put together a month or two ago. Can you talk about that program?
Sure. It's called the CRCI Comedy School. And we started it in January of 2018. I moved to Portland from New York City for the PSU Art and Social Practice program it's an MFA program, and Harold Fletcher was doing work with the few students already teaching an art class there, and they were doing a bunch of talent shows, and there was one of the artists inside. He also was interested in stand-up comedy. And so for a talent show, he did a stand-up set, and so Harold and some of the students got together and asked if there was more interest in the in comedy class at CRCI, and there was. And so we started the class, and we have about 20 to 25 incarcerated comedians in the class, and we've been doing it weekly for over a year now.
Mm-hmm. And CRCI stands for?
Oh, Columbia River Correctional Institution. And it's in North Portland. It's a minimum security men's prison.
Mm-hmm. And how does the program work exactly? How is it set up?
So we have a few grad students, and we come in as volunteers on every Monday evening. And so none of us are comedians or like have done really comedy. And Portland has this amazing comedy scene, and mm-hmm. so we've been getting a lot of local comedians to come in and lead workshops, and so we've had Milan Patel, Marcus Coleman, Shane Braden, Kate Murphy, Katie Nguyen, all of these consistent local comedians come in, and they would perform for the guys on the inside, and so they were exposed to different kinds of work, and then they would write their own work and just perform and would get feedback from the local comedians. And so we would work on the class together, working on material. And we started with just stand-up, and then we started doing sketch comedy too. And then now we just finished our, I think, fourth show that we have inside the prison, and that's for friends and family, and then outside guests. And then we just did an outside event. We've done so many events. We've done an outside event at Critical Resistance. Last month, and that was a pretty good. And that actually, we had people that were on the inside that were released, that they practiced their stand-up comedy on the mm-hmm. outside, too. So,
yeah. And people can find out more about this online. Is there a link for it? Or
yes. We have a website, and it's crci.art. It's a whole structure of programming that we're doing inside CRCI, and so this is one of the projects that we're doing on the inside.
Mm-hmm. So to backtrack, What's your general background, and how did you get involved with all this?
So I'm not a comedian, but I moved here from New York City I'm an artist. I did a lot of, did painting, drawing, sculpture, mm-hmm. installation, and then I started doing work in the communities. And then I moved to Portland, and on my flight to Portland, I got to PDX, and I was like, okay, I'm moving here. And Hari Kondabolu was on my flight, and so so I saw him at PDX, and I was like, oh, this is a good sign. And he said that he was visiting Portland, trying out some new material, and so I went to my first comedy show mm-hmm. in Portland that week, my first week in Portland. And I realized, oh my god, these comedians are pretty funny. There's all of these local comedians that have really good shows and really good places. And so I just started, and also I moved to Portland, and coming from New York City, everybody falls asleep at 9 p.m. I didn't know where to go. I was at least there's shows at 11 at 11 or something. And so I started just going to a bunch mm-hmm. of comedy shows, and then I never thought I would write anything or even get up on the mic or anything, but being in the class and just seeing all of these guys that have never done it, and then see mm-hmm. them improve and actually work together and create really interesting, complex jokes, I was like, okay, I want to try it too. So mm-hmm. I did it last month, and I kind of want to keep on doing it.
Mm-hmm. And part of it came through this connection with Portland State University.
Yes, and so
program. Yeah,
I'm a student at in this program, MFA program. It is very tiny. We have 5 people per year, mm-hmm. And we have it's 15 total, and a bunch of different artists doing so many different things. A lot of personal, interesting work throughout Portland. And this was just an opportunity to plug into something that was already happening and totally shape it and develop it mm-hmm. Collaboratively, which has been pretty amazing.
And what are what's the future for the program? I mean, as far as the this whole arts program that's going on, because it sounds like there's comedy, there's visual arts, there's...
So since it's been happening, I guess, since 2016, and it started, so the other art program that we have, it's an artist residency, so the guys on the inside, it's framed that they're artists in residence, and so they're actually having a show at Outer Space Gallery later this year, curated by the guys on the inside. Mm-hmm. We have the Comedy School Project that is a second big thing that came up through the class, and then some other grad students have done other kind of special projects. One is by Anka Schutler. She did a project called Answers Without Words. It was a photography project, and I got to collaborate with her on that. And then we're thinking of doing, or there's talk, and I'm not sure if it's going to happen, probably in the future, later this year, of doing a variety show where there's all these TVs, and there's a channel inside the prison, and so creating content for that. Whether it be comedy or just kind of interviews or something, some of those kinds of things too.
Right. So it sounds like you're enjoying what you do.
I kind of love it. Yeah.
You love it. So there's some fun involved.
Yeah. Yes.
And, I bring it up because, again, when generally, we talked about this when people are telling people they go inside to prisons to do various work. Right. For a lot of people on the outside, I mean, especially if they're not either formally incarcerated and or a friend and family member of somebody who is incarcerated or is incarcerated, there's this idea that everything is just bleak inside.
Right.
And so it sounds like, at least every once in a while, there's some rays of sunshine that come through and that people make connections and people are making art and being creative. Can you talk about that?
Sure. So my first experience at CRCI was by visiting a talent show. Mm-hmm. And it was the first time I had set foot in a prison in Portland. And it's a very intense experience to walk through the gates and to be watched and know that you're being watched and seeing, we have all these ideas of what prison is. But then, when actually being in a big, the chow hall, the cafeteria and then like getting the vibe of everybody and how like, and there's so much talent going on inside too. And so that was just like kind of the shift for me of just like, that this was just defying all of the expectations. And so just still going consistently over this past year and working on material, working on like crafting content and also having like really difficult discussions and like opening up space for all of these like complexities, like that's been pretty amazing. And then even after like when we had the outside event and we had like a panel discussion with the formerly incarcerated individuals doing the comedy now, and them talking about like how that was very valuable in terms of what they got out of the class on top of just like getting of the comedy aspect too. So it's I mean, it's comedy too. You just like, it's, there's a lot of laughs, you know?
Right. Yeah, that's going to be inevitable, hopefully. I mean, people are telling some good jokes.
Yeah, and even, you know, and making jokes funnier. So, and like, there've been some like pretty spontaneous and amazing moments that like, that kind of like over time have just like come out, which, and that's the like stuff that I really couldn't, I couldn't believe and just like was kind of amazed that happened. So,
right. And again, kind of when it comes to like misconceptions, again, this is very cliche, but you know, when people bring up things like, oh, people inside are, you know, I don't, you know, they're watching cable and this is my tax money or whatever, whatever, these kind of things, right? And contrary, there are these kind of programs going on, you know, at different places too. And also that a lot of these things, and I believe with what you do, I mean, these are things that the facilities are not necessarily paying for. They might be supporting it, but but actually paying for. So when people talk about, oh, tax dollars, this and that for prisoners, it's like largely that's not the case, right? So how does that work with your program then?
So yeah, we're all volunteers, and there's no credit for the classes or anything. It's all just like we go when we can, and those who go consistently, like working in the prison, we do sign up for the volunteer badge. And we do have really great allies on the inside who are open enough to do kind of innovative programming. James Hanley, who is in charge of the programming at CRCI, has worked and has like worked with us and like let us experiment in such great ways. So it's been amazing to have the support on the inside too for us to like really push and really see what's possible in terms of ownership and what's allowed.
Can you talk about kind of being a volunteer, what's that, what that's like, and how the process kind of went down?
Sure. So it was actually like a few months before I was able to become a volunteer, but it's quite just going in and having this experience. I was always like very clear of like, oh, I get to leave. Right? And so like being very intentional and thoughtful of the time that of being in this space and like having the conversations and having the stuff that happens in the 2 hours on a Monday evening, just making sure that that's kind of as substantive as possible. And how like just going consistently and developing these like interesting relationships and talking about comedy and also talking about art and like really that practice and developing that practice as well.
How's the group facilitated?
So we at the beginning we had like the local comedians come in, and so it was kind of like collaboratively facilitated, and at this point more and more of the classmates that have been coming consistently, they're like taking more of the lead and like especially with feedback and everything for everybody's content. So that's been kind of like a dream too. So that like, after some time, like feeling ownership of the class too. So,
So kind of like a rotating facilitator in a way that everybody
And
gets the same skills.
It's also very casual. And so like, well, if people want to work on stand-up material, like we'll rotate MCs of like who wants to practice their MC skills and like
right
so we do a lot of rotation so that everybody has, and then you can tell like what people their strengths, like some are really great at giving feedback and being the lead, and some folks are excellent collaborators and like helping other people develop work too, so those kinds of strengths and weaknesses kind of balance each other out through the group, so that's pretty nice too.
Right. So there's kind of sounds like people are. It's not just comedy. I mean, it's developing social skills and
And
critical thinking skills and
totally.
There's a lot to all to writing comedy.
Yeah, and there's like public speaking and all these things in just performing, but then there's also like. When working together and shaping something together, how to work together, and then we've also we co-produce these shows, and so people take ownership in terms of like who's going to work on the organization of it. Who's we had one person, Rhino, who joined the class pretty late. Like it, if we have room, people can join the class, and he. Didn't do stand-up or wasn't ready to perform, but he's like a muralist, and we were thinking about doing a backdrop, and so he just like jumped in and like did a backdrop for the last show, which was like very well received by the classmates and everything. So just like having little points of entry for people who might not want to get on the mic, but like how they participate too.
Right, maybe they get a little warmed up after a while.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
So for folks just tuning in, you're listening to Prison Pipeline, airing from the studios of KBOO Portland, and we're here with Rushni Takor talking about a cultural arts and comedy program that happens in the Portland area at CRCI, Columbia River Correctional Institute. And what I was going to ask you about the comedy that happens there that's very interesting to me is how not all of it, but a lot of it is about being inside. And whether it's about being inside or how that relates to maybe, you know, life outside as you're inside. And I might even say that, and I'm wondering what you think about it, is almost seems like one of the best ways somebody could, I mean, aside from visiting a prison, doing the work, but to learn about what it's like inside is almost to hear these comedy bits, because they're funny, they're also so anecdotal about life inside.
Yeah, for sure. And that was the bulk, because this is a very specific context, right? And so the school, the project itself is like trying to shape and like create an alternative culture inside this specific context, which is like black and white thinking, yes or no, you know, just very like, and so taking personal experience, I mean, that's what comedians do. They take like their personal experiences and then like transform them. And so this is a very unique perspective in a very specific context, and to like use humor as a way to share that story. It has been super, it's amazing like how much creativity has been involved in crafting all of this this on everybody's material as well. So I mean, and we encourage them like if they're on when they get on the outside to like nobody's gonna have that experience that you just had, like you're please keep on doing it
right
on the outside. And we've been able to create start building our community on the outside too, with an outside program, so that the local comedians that have come in like suggest like open mics and things like that. So yeah, try to have some of that continuation too.
What kind of feedback do you get in general from these incarcerated comedians, or you, as you said, some of them are out now too, and what's the general, you know, kind of feedback about doing the work? I mean, whatever comes up for people.
when they're in the class and when they're out.
Mm-hmm.
They've been very appreciative and they've really enjoyed it. I think, like, some of them never thought they would get on the mic before,
mm-hmm.
which has been, like, really nice because they have. So many of them have gotten on the mic. And also, just being able to have that experience of just, like, meeting local comedians and then also being able to share their stories in that mm-hmm. perspective and that format, too. And, like, to get people to laugh, like, as a job and, like, on your mic, on the mic, that's, like, such a hard thing. And so when, like, they do that and they, like, perform in a show, I mean, it's, like, such a big deal.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right. And you have to be pretty vulnerable. I mean, it seems like, I mean, at the performances, there's about how many in attendance? I mean, aside from even, you know, outside visitors from the community.
Yeah, we always have around 150 for the shows.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's their peers on the inside, incarcerated peers, and then also about 35 guests we ask from the outside, too. So,
right,
yeah,
right.
Taking big risks and just, like, putting themselves out there and, like, that's why we've taken so much time on the inside to, like, help them prepare for that, whether it's, like, having extra sessions or having them, like, really think about, like, well, why did that work and why didn't that work mm-hmm. at this time, and thinking about all of those things, too.
Yeah. Well, that's also great that it sounds like you have a community connection even if they're not really doing work, you know, around prison per se, but that you do have some of the local comedians or even some national ones who are willing to come in. What does that look like, or how does that work? Like, what are those discussions like when you're like, oh, can you come in and do this? And
well, it's been really great because all of the comedians in Portland have been awesome, and they've been able to come in and share their work and have been really great afterwards too. And, like, mm-hmm. The last person that we've had, Mohamed Ilshiki,
mm-hmm.
he's a local Portland comedian, and he came in 3 times to help, like, develop the work for the next show, and then also performed at the show, too.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've been able to get Hari Kondobulu to come in, too, to do, like, a master class of and he did it for 2 days and, like, worked on, and this was before the show in September, and so that was pretty awesome, and, mm-hmm. like, they were asking really good questions about, like, just even small things of just, like, how do you hold the mic right? And, like, just these kind of, like, small but important things when you're, like, there's a spotlight on you and it's just, like, you on stage trying to make people laugh, right? We've also had, like, Fred Armisen come, too. He came a couple of times. One to talk about his work, and the other time he did, like, a sketch comedy workshop and refining the skits that they were working on, too. Mm-hmm. So it's been pretty amazing and generous of all the people that have been involved.
I mean, it sounds to me as well that y'all have done some excellent networking too, and also I would also say that in a short period of time, it seems like that in that short period you've already brought in all these people to do this.
I think I used my, like, in my trying to, like, get people to come in using my New York City hustle, because like, I would just keep on going to all of these local comedy shows
because mm-hmm.
there's so much good comedy in Portland, and then just talking to the comedians and seeing if they were available to come in, and, like,
okay,
everybody was just so, like, okay, yeah,
right,
you're doing
persistence,
yeah. Maybe.
Right. So one thing I did want to ask was so it sounds like what I hear you saying, your experience in New York, that you hadn't visited any prisons necessarily.
Correct.
Or had certain knowledge of prisons, and then you moved here, started going inside, learning more, teaching more, I mean, everything more, doing more art and everything. And you also have some great projects too, around, you know, gentrification and different cultural communities in Portland. And so where's your thinking, you know, I mean, as far as kind of where that's transformed about, I mean, not just doing this work, but about kind of, you know, what you see now that you've been going inside about the prisons, or how that kind of fits in with your kind of take on society now?
Oh, sure. You know, it's been pretty amazing to be able to, like, work with such interesting and talented people on the inside, who are very committed and in their craft, and just knowing, like, when they get on the outside, I've like talked to so many of the guys that have been released, and they've really, I mean, I don't want to like speak too like much about it, but they've been very appreciative about the experience. Mm-hmm. And so and I'm still in contact with them, and thinking that, like, and it's not the reason I'm like interested in doing this kind of work, like, but just how it's had an impact. But it's also like, I've been severely impacted on, mm-hmm. like, in my creative process, and just, mm-hmm. like, being a human in society, and just like, how to really unpack and creating spaces to unpack very complex things and experiences and situations. And I feel very, very lucky to be able to have, like, had this experience at all. So, mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, Portland's been very good to me in general.
Yeah, so for people who are local, and then maybe speak to people who aren't local, because this show also broadcasts nationally. Mm-hmm. So, again, maybe give the web link and how people might get involved with either the program inside and or the academic program as it relates.
Sure. So the website that we have that we are updating, but it's crci.art. Any local artists or comedians who want to get involved, please reach out through there. We have an email address at crci.art@gmail.com. And then we have videos on YouTube that have the other... There's videos of the talent shows and the comedy shows that we had on the inside, mm-hmm. that everybody, if you want to, like, if you're done with Netflix and you want to watch some comedy, mm-hmm. that's, like, done in a prison, you could see it there. And, yeah, we also just, like, if anybody wants to ever come in and just check out the class, it's always been very open for everybody, just mm-hmm. with a small background yeah. check. So, yeah.
Nationally, are you seeing programs out there as a result of what you're doing, maybe because you're networking, and or are they just kind of popping up, or are you finding that, you know, there's more of a need for it
nationally? I imagine so. There's been so many artists that I've been seeing that have been working in prisons and with incarcerated individuals and mm-hmm. families across the country, so that's, I feel like people are also like fed up of just
right,
like
right.
this is like getting like it's not working for mm-hmm. our society to like to think about these cages still, so
right
I think people are plugging in different kinds of capacities, mm-hmm. which has been in whether it's like legislation. Laurie Jo Reynolds has been doing work as an artist, and then there's like work doing happening in Chicago too, so yeah, it's, I mean, everywhere. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's a lot of artists working in there.
Yeah, so, and back to you. Are you at a point now with this work that, I mean, it sounds like you want to continue it and all that. Are there other, like, project ideas that are coming out of this? Sounds like you're almost getting a little bit into comedy.
Yeah.
People look out for your stuff, too, because I know you have a lot of amazing projects.
Sure. And we were just talking, I was telling you that I started writing comedy after not doing it before. Mm-hmm. And if you ever go to open mics, might see me there. Also, I'm doing a lot of work on the east side, East Portland, that's not comedy, but it's where I'm working with Apano mm-hmm. and their new building. And yeah, that's pretty much, I mean, that's pretty much it for now.
Yeah. So, and before we wrap up, too, because you were actually showing that work in that project to some incarcerated youth here in Oregon
yeah.
at McLaren the other week, and it was interesting how the reaction from many of them was they knew that neighborhood, they were from those areas.
I know! That was such a nice surprise, because I didn't even want to talk about that project, and so I'm so glad I did, and it was getting their perspective about... the what's happening in East Portland and like hearing what's important to them. That was just like a really nice surprise too.
Right. And how can people check out those projects that you have online?
I have a website. It's my name, RoshiniTakur.com. Thanks, Adam.
No, people should check it out. It's some great work inside and outside. And of course, shout out to all the folks at CRCI who are killing it on the comedy. I went to one program and enjoyed it thoroughly.
Yes, all of them work so hard. Yeah. All of them. Yeah. All of them are so funny.
Yeah, and you've been listening to Prison Pipeline, airing from the studios of KBOO Portland. Listen to this and previous Prison Pipeline programs at kboo.fm/prisonpipeline. Like Prison Pipeline on Facebook. Thanks to our co-host, and big thanks to our engineer, Mr. Miles Dustin. Free them all.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the community forum on Zenith Tar Sands expansion on Tuesday, March 26th at 7 p.m. at City Hall in Portland. The community forum on Zenith Tar Sands expansion will address the realities of climate breakdown and the expansion of fossil fuels infrastructure. The event will pose questions about oil train traffic along the Columbia River, impacts on First Nations, and more. Again, that's the Community Forum on Zenith Tar Sands expansion on Tuesday, March 26th at 7 p.m. at City Hall, 1221 Southwest 4th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Urban League of Portland Career Connections Job Fair on Tuesday, April 2nd at 10 a.m.